Welcome to another episode of the 30 to Life podcast. It's your boy Mookie.
And your favorite color in the world, brown.
And thank you for tuning in to another episode of the 30 to Life podcast, where we break stereotypes, build legacies, and help others along the way. Today's episode is really just going to be a barbershop talk, right? We just want to talk about a very important topic or recognition or celebration of someone who has really redefined the Black athlete and really broke a lot of stereotypes and is doing an amazing job in the community and on the court. So as you know, well, maybe you haven't heard, but LeBron is officially a billionaire with a B. Brown. How'd you hear when you hear that news?
You know, considering that, like, I'm still, you know, on my journey to a million, you know, he has a billion. So, you know, how I feel about it, man, I'm just proud of him. I remember when he first came out, like, I was in high school, he was in high school, we was in high school at the same time. So I remember like that whole transition of him going to the NBA at the first time, and, you know, the same way he's at now. Like, I saw his transition from you know, boy to king. So, you know, congratulations.
We really did. We grew up with him. You know, he's slightly older than us probably, but to be in the league 19 seasons, to be still playing and hit a billionaire is even more impressive, because I don't know if there's any other athlete who's been able to do that. I know not in the NBA, because Jordan did it after he retired, but that's a impressive feat, right? And he was hyped, right? Coming out of high school, like, he was the most hyped athlete, all that pressure. And for someone who had all that pressure and he met, then exceeded it, on the court and off the court, is truly, truly impressive. So it's amazing. And I was just, like, thinking about it, like, all the things that he's done and all the stereotypes that he's, like, really just dismantled, right? Like, one, he's married, right?
To a Black woman, a nice brown-skinned Black woman.
Yes, his high school sweetheart, right?
Yeah.
This guy, he doesn't have any scandals, right?
Yeah, I ain't heard nothing.
He plays basketball, you know, which he was criticized for, but he shares. He makes the right plays. Like, he's a well-rounded basketball player, right?
Yeah.
And his I Promise School. Like, I think about that as well. Like, he built a school to help our people succeed, right? And those kids' lives are going to be changed forever. But then, you know, you think about, like, all the investments he made as well. Mm. Like,
yeah,
he's crushing it. He's literally just crushing it.
So, you know, his mother had him when she was 16.
Yep.
He didn't grow up with his father in his life.
Nope.
And look at him now. So, you know, he's not only a role model for any Black boy, but, mm-hmm. you know, there's children out there who unfortunately don't grow up with one of their parents. So, and his mom, like, 16, like, imagine being a mom at 16. So, you know, his life was not easy in the beginning, and he had to develop, you know, that Mamba mentality that is almost either in the same level as Kobe or, you know, just in that same trajectory. But his mental toughness is admirable. To be as successful as he was when he first came out, you know, and, you know, just to see him now, like, he's the one player who, to me, in my opinion, gave empowerment to players. Like he, even though other players, you know, before him, I guess, had their brand and, you know, used their brand, like, i.e. Jordan, you know, Iverson, but I think he took their blueprint and he took it to a level where he exceeded them, because he did it while he was playing, like you said. And then his son is one of the best players, you know, in the world, you know. So I mean, this guy is doing his thing. You know, he's a great father. So, I mean, we don't know what goes on behind closed doors, but from what it looks like from the outside looking in, you know, he did a good thing with his sons, you know. So I gotta give it up to the guy, man.
Yeah, and I think just to add to that, right? Like he, you know, he has three kids, Bronny and his other son and daughter, but no scandals. Like this social media era, there's no hiding if he did, you know, do anything crazy. And for him to not have any other than, you know, the basketball scandals that he goes through, like, you know, his what was it called? It was Miami, the decision, right? Like that was that's the biggest criticism he gets, or that he doesn't pass. I mean, he makes passes instead of taking the final shot, or that he doesn't have like that Kobe or Jordan mentality when it comes to just being, you know, a scorer. But he scores a lot, right? He's second all time, so he definitely scores, just not the way people expect him to. I think he's, you know, doing an amazing job and redefining like the black athlete overall.
You know, in a way, like, don't get me wrong, like, you know, I mean, I respect Kobe, but in a way, I think Kobe mimicked his game so much like Jordan, that in a way, to me, you can't criticize LeBron, because to me, he has his own style. Like, it's his own unique style. Like, Kobe was a student of the game, so he mimicked other people that he liked. Like, I'm not saying that LeBron didn't do that, but LeBron doesn't play like anybody else. Like, LeBron plays like LeBron. Like, Kobe played like Jordan.
Yeah, but LeBron has like the, you know, magic type of play that he plays, right? You know, facilitating and stuff like that, right? The Pippen kind of, you know, style as well. And then at times he does have like Jordan Kobe-esque things. So I think he's comfortable not being,
staying in his lane. He's staying in his lane. I know you can't say Kobe staying in his lane. Yeah. Kobe's just like Jordan. I'm sorry. Don't get me wrong. Kobe's top three.
I think even like, I know you saw the Last Dance, what's it called? Last Dance documentary of Michael Jordan. And Kobe and Michael Jordan were similar in terms of like their drive, passion, and like killer mentality when it comes to like scoring, right? But LeBron, even though people wanted him to have the same like archetype or profile as them, he still stayed true to who he was as a player and refined that part of his player. And when he needed to score, he scored. When he needed to pass, he passed, and so on and so forth. So that's definitely, you know, being true to yourself, but just, you know, focus on your strengths and improve it each and every year. I think one of the other things with LeBron is like, he's in his 19th season going on 20 right now, and he's focused, he's disciplined, right? He's feeling like he could play for another 4 or 5 years eventually with his son.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's every person's dream. The only person I remember who had like their father, son, like in a major league sport, in a major sport, was Ken Griffey Jr. and his father. And I think they had one time when they had back-to-back home runs when he was on Seattle Mariners. So just to have that, I don't even know what that feeling's like, right?
Yeah,
like,
I gotta imagine. Be one of the best feelings in the world. Yeah.
So when that happens, oh man, like LeBron's just like, you know, great father, great husband, great basketball player, great off the court, right? And he also talks about social issues, right? Like that's another thing that, you know, he did well off the court, you know, anything that, you know, happened that was, you know, detrimental, you know, to our community, he spoke up about it. Yeah. So, you know, for him to officially hit a billionaire, right? And he's, what is he, 39? I don't know his age, but he's under 40 as a billionaire. So that's impressive. And I was looking at his company, Spring Hill, which is like a, you know, media entertainment production company. And that's valued at $700+ million now, right? Yeah. I think what they produce, like Space Jam 2 and a couple documentaries.
Also the barbershop show.
Oh, barbershop, and then also they did a Muhammad Ali documentary.
He's
you know not majority stakeholder, but he has the longest stake in that company. So, and also his business moves are also timely, like him going from Cleveland, Miami, but to LA, right? Have a media company, production company, like that was intentional, right?
Yeah.
The bigger markets that focus, he decided to go there. And I think that also just helped him in his later years where he is now, allow his opportunities to grow. It's really impressive for him to be doing this, and he's still playing at a high level.
Yeah, so I mean, the thing about the production company, mm-hmm. I thought was cool was that he started it with his best friend. You know, that goes to say that though, you really still, no matter what, need a team. Mm-hmm. You need your tribe. You can't do this by yourself. And essentially, like starting that with his best friend and having someone that you could trust, and he known him forever. I mean, that has to be, you know, just a beautiful recipe for greatness. And obviously it transpired into, you know, contributing to his billionaire status.
Yep.
Shout out to just synergetic teams, you know.
But also to add to that, I think a lot of times, and you know, with the deal that he and his best friend Maverick Carter, they're friends, but they're doing business together. So it can work, right? And then talk about, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars, and like, who better to do, someone who you know your whole life, right? To build this business that is, you know, very lucrative for them now. So, but also, like, one thing that I also liked about LeBron is, you know, a lot of times entertainers, athletes, they get the sponsorship deals, and it's usually, oh, we'll pay you, you know, $100K for the year to, you know, hold this milkshake or this drink or something like that. But one thing that he does is he asks for equity in these different type of deals. And I remember earlier in the decade, he had a McDonald's deal that he rejected because they wasn't offering equity in the deal, right? And you know, that's where a lot of people make a lot of money, by getting equity. Like 50 Cent is the one that comes to mind when he had that vitamin water deal, and then Pepsi bought out vitamin, and he made like $100+ million because he had equity in vitamin water. So, you know, getting the equity is so important. And I think I remember Magic Johnson talking about it, where they offered him equity when he was like, I think with Nike, when he first was like coming in the league, and he didn't take it, and he'd be worth, I mean, that part alone, I think, was going to worth hundreds of million dollars, but he took the bigger upfront cash, right? And to fast forward where, like, you know, LeBron's on the Lakers now, and well, Magic has done well for himself and stuff, but like, to see one of the biggest best players and the biggest players in the world is take now not learning from those mistakes of others, right? And he's asking for the equity, right? Blaze Pizza is another example that he invested in, and so many other, you know, partnerships that he has, but he is redefining it in all aspects of it, right? Like him meeting with like Warren Buffett, right? And learning from him, right? Not just, you know, him, LeBron meeting with like Hakeem Olajuwon, or, you know, speaking with Jordan or Kobe or the greats. He also did it off the court by, you know, meeting with the best investor of all time, right? I mean, Warren Buffett, so he can learn and, you know, improve himself off the court. So he's definitely someone who, you know, wants to improve and become better than he was the year before. And that's one of the things that I learned from him, is just like, you know, each year you upgrade yourself, you improve yourself. And he's done that from basketball every year. Like, he couldn't shoot too well, then he got better at shooting. He got better at, you know, decision making each year, or, you know, just his body, just making sure that it's at the tip-top shape every year. And he did it also off the court, right? From his I Promise School, which are, you know, helping kids go to college, not have to worry about student loans and changing their lives. He's just done so many things to improve each and every year. And it seems like he's just getting better over time in a lot of aspects.
78% of athletes go broke. 3 years after retirement. So the fact that he is doing what he's doing, you know, right now is he's an outlier, you know, 78%. He's an outlier. But yeah, like just to be a billionaire, like how many billionaires do we have? So there are 15 black billionaires.
Yes. I can name eight of the US people.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead.
Let's go. Okay. Rihanna. That was recent. Yes. Kanye.
Yep.
Jay-Z.
Yep.
Robert Smith.
Yep.
Who else? I said Kanye, right? Kanye. Yep. Okay, I'm out.
Oprah.
Oh, Tyler Perry.
Yes.
And what's his name? James. What's the other black guy?
You said David Stewart.
David Stewart. Yep. More on the tech side, him and Robert Smith. And who else? Michael Jordan.
Yes.
Those are all the American, right?
Yeah. And yes. The rest are like oil billionaires from Nigeria.
And then there's someone who's Jamaican and Canadian on the list too. I can't remember his name, but yeah, basically half of them are in the, well, more than half, like 60% is in the US.
I mean, you got to give it up to the US. I mean, you know, you got, considering all of those black billionaires, they came
from,
I don't know about Robert Smith, but or like, so all the athletes and all the musicians, they came from humble beginnings.
Yes.
And now they're billionaires. So, you know, America has, you know, a dirty, dirty history and still dirty things going on today. But, you know, you can literally go from zero to 100 if you put the time in, you put the effort in, you be creative in your own.
Build relationships and improve each and every year. So true. And I remember like the first black billionaire when it first came out, and they said it was like in the early 2000s. And do you remember who the first black billionaire in the US was?
It's the guy from BET, right?
Yes, owns BET. He owned the Charlotte Bobcats. He actually named the team after him because his name is Robert Johnson. The Bobcats and everything. So Robert Johnson was the guy who owned BET, sold it to Viacom. He also was the first black person to own a major league sports team in the Bobcats in Charlotte. And he eventually sold that to Michael Jordan, who is also a billionaire today. So yeah, it's a beautiful thing how far, right? It was only one in 2001. And now fast forward two decades, at least in the US, we have, you know, close to 10. So, you know, it's definitely opportunity. That's one thing it says. And I think looking at it, you know, looking at the list, right, or thinking about these people, right, we have people who are in tech, people who are entertainers, athletes. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to when we have someone who launches an app, you know, similar to like, you know, the Facebooks or, you know, the Apples or Amazon or any of these companies. And, you know, they're added to the list and they're another billionaire, right? And I'm talking about where they're worth like 10, 20, 30 billion dollars, like that level, right? So I'm looking forward to that. I know it's coming. It has to be coming soon. You know, all our episodes that we've done and, you know, have people are building apps or people talking about, you know, investing in different apps and software. So that's what I'm looking for, right? Because I think, you know, doing it in as an athlete, entertainer is great, but I also want to just show people that there's other paths. Yeah. And I think that's important for our culture that we see it, right? And I think, you know, one thing Robert Smith has been more intentional with, because he's more on the tech side, to be more public, so people more aware of him, right? Remember when he gave all of the Morehouse students, you know, basically said, well, I'm gonna pay off all your student loans. They're gone. like that helped people. Oh, Robert Smith, who's this person, right? Because like, we know Michael Jordan, we know Oprah, we know, you know, Tyler Perry, all these people, but we didn't really know who Robert Smith was. And the more like he's more in the forefront and it just popularized it and people were like, hey, so that's why I'm looking forward to like when someone builds an app, takes it public, and they're worth, you know, tens of 20 billions of dollars. that's just gonna, you know, just put it in the light, like, hey, like, there's multiple ways to become a billionaire. It's not just through entertainment and sports. So
For those who don't know who Robert Smith is,
yep,
he owns a equity company that he only founded in 2000, right? Mm-hmm. So it's 22 years old, private equity company, and he's worth $6 billion. So he's worth more than Jay-Z, more than Rihanna, more than Kanye, more than Oprah. If you put them all together, he still has about 1 or 2 billion more than them. So,
Kanye said he was worth $6 billion. So I don't know. But I think Forbes came out and said he was worth.
I got 1.8 on my end.
Okay, bam. Yeah. So I mean, but Kanye's even the more interesting one.
Yeah,
interesting because he had one. So I want to talk about like what I learned from Kanye is like the vision.
Oh man. So inspirational.
And the confidence that he has in his self, right? That vision and confidence, right? And, you know, and also doing it even when people say that you can't, right? Yeah. Because he, you know, if anyone saw the Genius documentary, like he was a producer and no one really believed in him that he could be a rapper. And regardless of people saying, like giving them the runaround, and even when he got signed, they still were playing games. He still went ahead and did what he had to do so he could, you know, build, right? And he took that same passion once he became one of the most popular rappers or artists and got his Grammy and so forth. If you see where he goes from there, he then decided to go into like fashion and clothing, and people would be giving him a hard time again. And then he, you know, signed this huge deal with Adidas and most recently with like Gap, and now that allowed his Yeezy brand to be worth billions of dollars, and he just leases it out to Adidas, so he has full ownership of it. And just his belief in himself despite what other people think is definitely something I learned from him.
I mean, he's a Renaissance man. He's our Michelangelo, I think. Like, he's literally dipping his hands in everything that he wants to, and he creates gold out of it. Like, he turns lead into gold. Like, his original idea or intention for his slides was to be $20. Those things are $200. So that just to me says that, you know, if you put your essence into something and your idea and your creation, that you just have the grit and determination to achieve it, you know, the outcome will go above and beyond what your original expectations are. Like, you know, so that whole Yeezus thing, man. I mean, what's it called?
Genius.
Genius thing, man. Oh man, that was extremely inspirational.
And it was, another thing just to add to the Kanye part is like, same with LeBron, like he was true to who he was as a person, right? Yeah. Like at that time when he became a rapper, like, being, you know, the gangster rap mold was really popular, and he went against that.
Stayed in his lane,
stayed in there, and just exploded. And it changed. It single-handedly him. I would say single-handedly changed. We would have probably no Drake or J. Cole or, you know,
Big Sean,
any of these people, because it was focused on the gangster rap, right? And then it allowed the backpack rap and all this other stuff like that, and being comfortable in it. So he was comfortable in his own skin, and he amplified that.
We interviewed Marcus Whitney, and he said that he was really in tune with who he was and who he is, and he embraced his uniqueness, and he understood that nobody could do what he could do, how he could do it. And same thing with Kanye West, same thing with all these other, you know, billionaires and there's people that are successful. Like they embrace their uniqueness. I feel like we spend so much time trying to be like everybody else, but it's what makes us different that ultimately makes us interesting.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No, it's so true. Like, you know, if you could be anyone in the world, like, be yourself, right? That's the truth of it. So yeah, definitely from all these people, you know, it's just inspiring. And, you know, LeBron, you know, on the field, off the field, like he's redefining it, right? Like to see a married athlete with no scandal become a billionaire, you know, putting, you know, his legacy at the forefront and just changing, you know, the game of basketball, changing, you know, just things off the court. Like it's definitely something that you can model after. And, you know, it definitely changed the perception of, you know, just a NBA player in general. So hats off to him. Can't wait to see who will be the second and third. Which, who you think that is? The second, third, well, not even second, because Michael Jordan's first in the NBA, and then then LeBron. But who you think the third billionaire in basketball will be?
In basketball? Because I was going to say your favorite color. But in, in basketball? Yeah. Oh, man.
Think Magic.
You mean like anybody that
anybody
has
basketball. Yeah, because
I was thinking of active players.
Yeah, we only have two. So
I don't honestly see anybody else that's like business savvy like that.
Kevin Durant, maybe. He's silently doing stuff. And he's still young. Steph Curry, I don't know.
I could see Steph doing some stuff, but
Steph over time, right? Because he's young too. But
I gotta go with LaMelo.
LaMelo? You think LaMelo? I mean, he's young. He's what, 19, 20? So he has like 40 years on him, you know, if it's guided him well. Okay, LaMelo, that's a good one. Maybe we'll see. Yeah, I don't know. I think Magic probably, like, if he, you know, lives long enough, like he's already probably like in the 3, 4, 5s in terms of millions. So maybe him, but we'll see. I just want, you know.
People. I mean, you got also got to like say, like think about it like this, like most of the time, we were excluded from all those other industries. We were only allowed to succeed in entertainment and
sports. Yep.
Yeah, and so now that we have access to all these other industries now, like I can only imagine where we're going to be. So I mean, I'm actually like very optimistic for the future, because, you know, I feel like, you know, because we now understand that we have access to something other than sports or entertainment, rather, you know, I do think that we'll have our Facebook, you know, our own type of platform like that. That sort, you know, I see all these interesting people coming out from different countries that are inventing things, that are Black, you know, so, you know, interviewing all of these Black entrepreneurs, you know, so I'm extremely hopeful, for the future. And I do think that ultimately we'll figure something out where we have our own Black Wall Street one day.
Yes. Yes. It's coming. Digital Wall Street. Let's do it. And yeah, we anyone's listening right now, continue redefining your Black experience, continue to break those stereotypes, continue to build your legacies, and never forget to help others along the way. Once you learn something, pass it on to a friend, allow them to continue passing on to someone else. Once you go up that elevator, be sure to send it back down so people can climb up the ladder or the levels with you. So thank you guys for listening to another episode. We really appreciate you. What episode are we at now? Because we almost couldn't 100. Are we 98? So two more episodes to 100. Guys, we appreciate all the support. Can't wait to hit 100. That's like the syndication number, right? So really appreciate the support. Once again, don't be stingy. Give to the needy, and the people need to hear the 30 to Life podcast. It's your boy, Mookie.
And your favorite color in the world, brown.
Dirty Life, we out. Peace.